Chapter 26, Mrs. Finley's Amazon, 1996. Maeve and I weren't getting along, and by not getting along, I meant we were explosive, combative, around the clock. We could be laughing, fighting, making love, and fighting again in the space of an hour. It was too much. It was never one thing, it was everything. I was on the outs with Maeve, and privately I felt like she had really pushed it past the point of no return with me. That's why I was particularly excited about jobs that required me to travel. In 1996, I filmed two movies in Manaus, Brazil. The first was a French flick called La Jaguar. The second was Anaconda with John Voight, Jennifer Lopez, Ice Cube, and Eric Stoltz. On La Jaguar, we were bouncing between Brazil, Venezuela, and Paris. The rainforest blew my mind. At breakfast, the first morning in Venezuela, two huge, beautiful macaws were hanging around a huge open-air restaurant that was attached to a hotel we were staying in. They were smart as shit. One would fuck with you while the other stole your breakfast. I got another breakfast, and the other bird fucked with me so the first one could steal my second breakfast. I tried to make friends with one by holding my hand out, and he gave me a side-eyed look that said, "Where the fuck you from? Do you see my beak? I will take your finger." From then on, I'd get three bowls of oatmeal, one for me and two for my new buddies. We moved production to Brazil, and when the plane started accelerating for takeoff, a beautiful macaw kept pace with the plane as long as it could. I wondered if it was one of my pals from breakfast looking for one last bowl of oatmeal. We filmed in a village about 20 miles from Manaus, the capital of Amazonia. Nestled in the heart of the rainforest, Manaus is the main city in the lungs of the world. During the day, we'd walk out to this jungle area where they'd built the set. Production gave me a rental car, and after work, all the background people and I would go to Manaus and dance all night. I spent every day and night with the background people on the movie, all natives from Brazil. Their energy was so positive, warm, and disarming, but they were proud. The indigenous people of Manaus always said they were the only people who never made a treaty with the Portuguese and the Spanish, because while they conquered the coast, they never made it that far up the Amazon. Heading back to Canaima's Venezuela to shoot additional village and jungle scenes from the air, I saw huge chunks of rainforest missing because of logging. It looked like the earth had huge scars in it. The forestry person in me from my camp days was sad. Approaching Canaima's, I flew over Angel Falls, the highest waterfalls in the world. I'm not the biggest green crusader in the world, but God's marvels are breathtaking, and I said to somebody, "This must be where God comes to vacation." In Venezuela, there had just been a coup. My guide and I were walking downtown, and I happened to be wearing paratrooper boots. These 5 15-year-old kids holding AKs started screaming at me, asking me where I got my boots. I wanted to play dumb, so I let the guide talk, and I just kept saying, "Americano." My guide told them he's an actor from America. He got them in America. They demanded a receipt. They wanted my boots so bad. They thought I'd gotten them in the black market. I think production was worried about how much socializing I was doing. When we had a week off filming and other clients of Gloria's, Gil Birmingham and Richard Duran, a fellow actor in the movie, were taking advantage of it to travel. Production wouldn't let me go anywhere. I said, but Richard and Gil are going to Peru. They said, because they'll stay with the tour or near the hotel. We've watched you. You go into the absolute worst neighborhoods in Manaus to party, even though it's sober partying. We'll pay you extra just to stay in your hotel. In fact, if you stay in your room, we'll pay you even more. During the filming of La Jaguar, I went to Paris for a wardrobe fitting, all the way to Paris to be outfitted as a tribesman in a loincloth. Movie budgets. So I flew to Paris, and as soon as I got there, I found a meeting. I introduced myself as Danny from Los Angeles. Everybody was speaking French, so I didn't know what they were saying, but it was cool, because even if I don't speak the language of recovery is something I recognize anywhere. Afterwards, a guy came up and said he was from L.A. He asked me to coffee. Over Marlboro's, he told me he had married a French woman. He said he took her back to the United States on their honeymoon, and when it was time to go home, she said, thanks for the citizenship. I'm staying here. He preferred Paris, so he split. The last thing he said to her was, thanks for the citizenship. Because he spoke French and English, he was kind enough to show me around. So the next day, he met me at my hotel, and we walked around past the Louvre and other sites, and it was amazing. And then we were walking along the Seine when I saw this huge cathedral. I knew exactly what it was, but I was shocked because I hadn't put it together that Notre Dame was in Paris. For some reason, I always thought it was in Rome. The square was completely empty, and there was a mist in the air. It reminded me of the first night I stepped into the yard in San Quentin. But instead of imposing, the cathedral was beautiful, holy, calming, the opposite of the right now. It was forever. I almost fell to my knees. I came so close to crying. My friend asked me what was up. I didn't want to get into all those months I spent in the hole reliving the Hunchback of Notre Dame. I just said it meant a lot to me. He could see how much I was moved, so he was moved. Before we left, I said, sanctuary, channeling Quasimodo, and we laughed. I got back to my hotel and called Eddie Bunker. His wife told me Eddie was in Paris shooting a flick called Chameleon with Seymour Cassell. Eddie and I were walking under a bridge near the Seine River at night when I had to piss. I was pissing up against a granite wall and said, hey, Eddie, doesn't this remind you of Folsom? He said, Mexican, you're the only person in the world who would think about Folsom when you're in Paris. School and I hadn't gotten along too well. But later that year, when I was shooting Anaconda, I couldn't help remembering my fourth grade teacher at Elysian Heights Elementary, Mrs. Finley. Mrs. Finley wore colorful dresses and big wooden bracelets that clanked together. She was fine as hell and liked me a lot. Mrs. Finley was obsessed with the Amazon River. She taught us the Rio Negro pulls sediment from the tributaries and the giant water lilies called Victoria Amazonica grow long stems when the river is high, and the lilies stay high above the water when the river recedes. She said her bracelets were from the Yanomami tribe who lived in the rainforest. We'd yell, Yanomami, Yanomami, because it sounded like Spanish slang for stop it, mommy. She'd laugh and we'd laugh with her. But then Miss Finley would raise her arms and say, children, the stars in the night sky above the Amazon are overwhelming, I tell you. Then she'd shake her arms so her bracelets knocked together. We'd ask if she'd ever been to the Amazon, and she said no. I couldn't believe she talked about it so intimately, like she had lived there. If you've never been there, how can you talk about it like you do? She just said, I just know. Of all the teachers I ever had, the only one I paid attention to was Mrs. Finley. She taught me that if you imagine with intense focus, you could truly believe you were somewhere else. It's a skill that had proven valuable in prison. Early into filming Anaconda, we were chugging in a huge old wooden ship up the Rio Negro when we saw water lilies the size of Volkswagen Beetles sticking out of the river on giant stalks. They looked like something from Dr. Seuss. Ice Cube tripped out. He said, what are those? I said, they were called Victoria something and grew with the rise and fall of the river. And when the river receded, they stuck out of the water, waiting for the river to rise again. A few minutes later, someone said something about the color of the water. And I said, that's why it's called the Rio Negro. Black River. The water from the tributaries in the mountains is black with sediment. It mixes with the water coming from the ocean. Everyone was looking at me like, how the fuck do you know that? Ice Cube said, damn, Danny, I thought you were supposed to be a gangster. Gangsters aren't supposed to know that shit. I said, when I was doing time, I did a lot of reading. I was lying. I couldn't tell him. Mrs. Finley, my fourth grade teacher, taught me. A few weeks later, I had to shoot a scene in which I get eaten by a giant anaconda. While the rest of the cast was back at the hotel, I was alone with the director and the crew. Chugging home down the Rio Negro, I stood at the ship's bow. The crew was in the stern trying to sleep. I looked up, and I never seen so many stars in my life. There was layers upon layers of thousands upon thousands of stars. I started laughing. I laughed so hard, I woke everybody up. The director said, what's so funny? I threw my hands in the air, just like Mrs. Finley, and yelled, the stars in the night sky above the Amazon are overwhelming. I laughed even harder. Wherever you are, Mrs. Finley, you were right. Two nights later, Jennifer Lopez showed up to work wearing wooden bracelets. She said, were given to her as a present. I said, they're from the Yanomami tribe. She looked like she was shocked. How did you know? Mrs. Finley. Ice Cube laughed. You're a trip, Trejo. When I got back to the hotel that night, I called Maeve and the kids and told them I wish they were there with me and that I wanted them to see the stars in the sky above the Amazon. I was learning so much through travel, even though I hadn't had the chance until now. I wanted my kids to know the beauty of the world and different cultures.